Good morning. Welcome to Crestview Baptist Church. Thank you for choosing to come worship with us today. I'm glad to see you, glad to have you here in the Lord's house today. Just a few announcements to get us going. Do not forget, I believe next week is our deacons meeting and our business meeting. So keep those in mind. Let's see. Don't forget about our Wednesday night services. Our adults are here in the church. Our youth and children are out in the building. Hopefully we won't have any severe weather this week to throw us off. Didn't miss everybody Wednesday night, but I think it was important. The roads were pretty bad in some places. It was important that everybody stay safe. So don't forget we have our fellowship at the Creek. This month coming up, and it's also going to be an anniversary celebration, is that? Right. 50th wedding anniversary celebration for the Garnetts, so keep that in mind. We have our homecoming celebration coming up June 9th, so do not forget about that too. And it's Mother's Day. Hug your mother today. Take care of the ones that take care of your household. So I just want to thank all mothers, and we'll have some stuff here in a little bit, but I don't think there's any more announcements. Did I miss anything? If there's no more announcements, I'm going to turn it over to Preacher Arnie, and we can begin with prayer this morning as we worship together.
Good morning. It is great to see everyone here this morning. I want to say thank you for allowing me and Ginger to go this past Sunday to see our only granddaughter be dedicated to the Lord. It was a special occasion. Thank you for allowing us to do that. Also, want to recognize the fact that Ruth is with us today, all the way from Alabama. She has come back to visit, so make sure you speak to her. And we also have two birthdays today, but since the choir's not in here yet, you guys can tell Sandra that she talks too much and too long. She's always telling me I preach too long, so you can tell her that she talks to the choir too long. So, but Whitey, here they come now. It's Whitey's birthday today, as well as Trey's birthday today. He's up there in the sound booth. So when Sandra gets in here, I want her to lead us in happy birthday to Whitey and Trey. But Whitey and Callie's birthday is today too, but she's not here. Whitey and Trey is here. So we're going to sing happy birthday to them as soon as she gets up here. And you talk too long.
All we did was practice.
So if you don't mind leading us in happy birthday to Whitey.
Trey and Whitey. Okay, let's stand. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Trey and Whitey. Happy birthday to you.
I think that we need to practice some more on that. Yeah. But it is good to see you today, and I'm glad you're here. We are celebrating mothers. I will tell you this, that my sermon today is not just to mothers, because I'm not going to be here for Father's Day. We're going to lump everybody together, and we're going to talk about parents today. So just be aware of that. But we are honoring our mothers today, and we're so grateful for our mothers. And they deserve a special day celebrating them. But as we go into our service, I ask right now that you join me in prayer as we begin our time together. Let's pray. Our blessed Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything that you've done for us. Dear Lord, we thank you for our mothers. Dear Lord, they are so special. Dear Lord, as we honor them today, let us not forget that even though today is Mother's Day and we are honoring our mothers, that's not why we're gathered together. We are gathered together to worship our Savior, our Creator, our Sustainer. Dear Lord, we are here because of you. We are here to praise the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we ask that each one of us focus on them this morning, dear Lord. That your Holy Spirit fills this place and we feel your presence. That you move among your people. Dear Lord, as Chad works with the children, that you would speak through him. As Sandra and the choir take us to the throne of grace and worship, that you would speak through them. As I open your word and bring a message, that you would speak through me. But above all, dear Lord, I ask that you just bless this time that we have. That everything that is done and said will be glorifying to you. And that hearts and souls will be changed according to your will. Dear Lord, I ask that you bless us right now. And we give you all the honor and glory for it all. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Would you stand as we sing hymn number 504 and sing, God, Give Us Christian Homes, 504.
Homes where the Bible is found and taught. Homes where the Master's will is sought. Drowning in the other has God gives Christian homes. Give us Christian homes. God, give us Christian homes. Where the water in flaring floods strives to show water to bring his back. Homes where the Lord is at the heart. God, give us Christian homes.
Amen. Thank you. We're going to continue worshiping by giving up our gifts and tithes at this time. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our many blessings. You always take care of us. So, Lord, I pray that you will bless this gift and giver as they have given back to you a small portion. But we know you can do mighty works with just a small bit because you are our God. For it's your holy name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand again as we sing our hymn of praise, 448. Just a closer walk with thee, 448.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from the wrong. Let it be.
I want the kids to come down forward because we have something special. We would like to recognize all the mothers. Mother's Day is such an awesome time. And, you know, I was sitting here thinking about how we always on Mother's Day, we say, you know, we're talking about how great the mothers are. And then when Father's Day comes along, it's do better, do better, do better. Well, then, you know what? You know what? The Bible, I mean, that's consistent with the Bible. I'm going to share with you some scripture here in a minute while these girls are handing out. They have, so if all the mothers would please stand up, these four young ladies right here, along with my big helper back there, she's a young lady too, they are going to bring carnations around for each mother while I'll read this scripture. And this is why I'm going to tell you why it's what I said a while ago is biblically accurate. So let's hear what Proverbs 31 verses 25 through 31 has to say about mothers. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. You can have a seat once you get your carnation, but I would like to thank you once again to all the mothers and to the women there who are like mothers. There are ladies in our church who are just like mothers, who take care of the kids and love the kids just like their own. And I would like to thank them too. But happy Mother's Day. And I hope you guys get the rest you deserve today. And I hope your husband and your kids take care of you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for all the mothers that you've given us to take care of us. And thank you for the love that you share us. You share for us. You give us, Lord. Lord, I ask that you watch over us today. Keep us safe. And even though it's Mother's Day, Lord, help us to honor you, our Heavenly Father, in everything that we do, always. All this I ask in your name. Amen.
In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
In Christ alone, come flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith, the skin of God, to stand. Torn by the ones he came to save, with the cross, Jesus died. The wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin it was laid, even in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, and bursting forth in glorious days, up from the grave he rose again, and he stands in victory, sin's trespass lost its grip on me, for I am dear, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No scheme of man me from his hand. If he returns me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. If he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. In Christ alone. In Christ
Thank you, choir. I love that song. I absolutely love it. Well, like I said earlier, yesterday is Mother's Day, and Chad is absolutely right. Most of the time on Mother's Day, preachers stand up here, and they preach to mothers, and they say, what a wonderful job. And when Father's Day comes, get up here and say how poor a job the fathers are doing. That is not always the case. Being a good parent is not always dependent on whether you're the mother or father. All mothers are not good, and all fathers are not bad. But what I want to point out today is that being a parent is probably the most difficult job you will ever do in your life. When you are a brand new parent and you have that little baby that cries when it's hungry, cries when it's wet, cries when it wants to be picked up, and they don't come with instruction books. Dr. Spock is an idiot. They do not come with instructions, and you have to learn as you go. Then you think, okay, if I can just get them past being a baby and they start walking and talking, it'll be a lot better. No, that's when they start getting into stuff. As soon as they start walking, they start getting into things. Then you have to worry about them running out in front of the cars. You got to worry about them taking off. Listen, my mom babysat for Timothy when Ginger and I went on a trip one time, and he disappeared on her. She could not find him. He was outside in the chicken coop. Then you think that it's going to get easier. You're like, if I can just get them to be teenagers and they can do things on their own. Oh, no. You go from being the hero and the smartest person in the world to being a lame, blubbering, know-nothing idiot. They don't talk to you. You go from being the most important person to the person they don't tell anything to. And you say, oh, if I can just get through these teenage years and get them out on their own without killing them. And then they get out on their own and you realize the worst part, oh, how much I would love to have them in diapers and being a little baby that I could take care of because I could control what goes on. They become adults, they're out on their own, and guess what? You become a spectator. And sitting back, and I am a firm believer. I've got two of them still at home. One of them that's trying to spread her wings and get out and trying to work through all of that. The adult children that I worry about constantly, it's harder having the adult children than it was having the babies. But then you have grandchildren. And I am now a firm believer that grandchildren are your rewards that God gives you for not killing your children when they were teenagers. I believe that with my whole heart. But we have to realize that when God gives us children, He is giving us a huge responsibility as parents. And teenagers, right now, back here, and you guys, you need to listen to this. Parents have a huge responsibility. Children are a blessing that He has entrusted us with. Not just Christian parents, but all parents have that responsibility. But Christian parents, we have an even bigger responsibility. And how awesome would it be that if every Christian parent took this responsibility that we're going to talk about today seriously. You see, we live in a society today that parents pass off their responsibility. It's not the parents responsible to teach their children. It's the school systems. It's not their parents' responsibility to teach them about the Bible. That's the youth pastor and the children's pastor's responsibility. It's not the parent's responsibility to lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the pastor's responsibility. Guys, I'm telling you something. That is not biblical. That is found nowhere in Scripture. And we're going to look at something from the Old Testament today that tells us what our responsibilities as parents are. And it's not just one responsibility. It's a few responsibilities. So if you would turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 5 through 9. And you're going to hear verse 5 sounds a whole lot like a verse that you would find in the New Testament where Jesus is telling them about the greatest commandment. This is where he's getting this. And let me tell you something. If it's good enough for Jesus to quote, we need to pay attention to it. So if you would stand as I read this. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 5 through 9. We're not going to go to any other scriptures. We're going to stay right here. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, it says this, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be a frontals on your forehead. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Let's pray. Our blessed Lord, thank you so much for what we see recorded here in Deuteronomy. Thank you for it being true then just as much as it's true now. Help us to understand what you're telling us in this scripture. Speak through me today, and may the Holy Spirit have his way with us. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. This sermon is going to be straightforward, and it may even be short. Because this scripture right here, we need to understand it. You see, we, and I'm talking to everybody, but especially parents today, fathers and mothers, we have failed. We have failed. And we all need to do better. Not saying that we have raised hellions. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying for some of us, myself included, we did not understand the responsibilities that were being placed on us when we had our first child. And we had to learn. Yes, we make mistakes. All of us make mistakes. David made mistakes. David's own son tried to kill him. But David was known as the man after God's own heart. God himself called him that. But you need to listen to what we're going to go through today. So a Christian parent is responsible. The first thing a Christian parent is responsible is for setting the example of fully loving God. That's our responsibility to our children. To set the example that God is first. We love him with everything we got. Look at verse 5. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Is there anything else that we can love God with? Our heart, our soul, our might? No. Love God with everything that you got, with all that is within you. Love God. That is our first responsibility to set for our children from the time they are born, is that we put God first in our lives. We love him with everything we've got. And what we do, what we say, how we think, it's all about God. If we did that, do you think that our children would mimic that? Yeah. How do I know that? Listen, when our kids were little, Ginger and I talked about paying bills and money, and there not being any money in the checking account all the time. Why? Because there was never money in the checking account. So one day, Trey and Casey and Leanne were playing house in the backyard. And this was, we only had those three. Jonathan wasn't born yet. They're outside playing, and they're playing house, and we overhear them. And Casey says, or Trey said, "Ginger, what are you doing spending money? We don't have any money in the checking account." They were copying what they had heard from us. Children, pay attention. When you don't think they're listening, when you don't think they're paying attention, they pay attention. And they listen, and it begins to shape them. And if we don't want to do it, guess what? The world and the people of the world and Satan are waiting in the wings to swoop in and set that example for them. So we have to. The second responsibility of a Christian parent is demonstrating a love for God's Word. I would show you a picture if my mom wouldn't kill me, because it would go out over the internet and she would absolutely kill me. But I've got a picture I was going through, and my mom is in her recliner and she is passed out asleep, which is not hard for her to do. If she sits still for 2 minutes, she's out. Okay? She's sitting in her recliner. Her Bible is open, because she was studying her Sunday school lesson. And she's got notes in her hand. And she is passed out asleep. She fell asleep studying God's Word. Do we love God's Word? Look at what it says here in verse 6. "These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart." Do we set that example of loving God's Word, of reading our Scripture, reading it to our children? Listen, I remember when I was little, I could not read. But they were having a contest in children's church that if you could read through the whole Bible, that you would get your own Bible. I couldn't read, so my dad read to me. Every night he would read some of the Bible to me. And I remember getting so close and wanting to get that Bible. So between Sunday school and church, we sat in a room and he read to me the last couple of chapters from Revelation. So I could get marked off during children's church and get my Bible. I don't have that Bible anymore, but I remember that Bible. I came running out and it was a red covered King James Version of the Bible. And I was so excited. But we have to set that example. That God's Word is in our heart. And we talk about loving people with our whole heart. Inviting Jesus into our heart. It is not your actual blood pumping mechanism in your chest. It is our innermost being. We need to love. And by the God's commanding us that His Word should be in our innermost being. It should be written in our heart. Then the third responsibility of a Christian parent is for teaching your children God's Word. You guys realize that back when the public school system started and they started teaching children to read and to write, you know what their primer was? It was not an educational book. Well, it is an educational book, but it wasn't an educational book produced by the school system. You know what it was? This. This is how children used to read and write, by reading the Bible. You guys realize that it was a Jewish custom that in the Jewish custom that they, that when a child became of the age to start to learn, that their first teacher was their mother. And they would take the scroll, they would unroll the scroll of the law, and they would put a little bit of honey on the tip, on the corner of that parchment, of that scroll, and they would touch it to the child's lips. And the reason they did that is they wanted them to know two things: that the Word of God was sweet, and that learning the Word of God was sweet. It is our responsibility to teach our children God's Word. Look at what it says in verse 7, just the first part of verse 7. It says, "You shall teach them diligently to your sons." Now you have to understand that in the Jewish language, that when it says sons, it refers to both daughters and sons. It's an all-inclusive word. Just like when it talks about in Genesis, it talks about man. It refers to humankind, to man and women, when it talks about men or the man. "Let us make man in our image." It's referring to both, because both male and female are created in God's image. But we are to teach the Word of God. And listen, this word "diligently," what does it mean? Paul, what does the word "diligently" mean? I like that word, what he just said. He said, consistently and what? Incessantly. That means you don't stop. You don't stop. Always teach your children God's Word. Teach them to love God's Word. The fourth responsibility of a Christian parent is being consistent in your Christian life. Being consistent in your Christian life. Look at the last part of verse 7. "And shall talk of them," talking about the words of the Lord, the commandments. "And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." Consistently. Not only talk about the Word, but live the Word in front of your children. Now, when I say consistently, that doesn't mean that we don't ever make mistakes. Is there someone in here that would be brave enough to stand up and say that you are consistently perfect in your walk with God? I didn't think so. I would be sitting down too, but then the camera wouldn't see me, because I am definitely not consistently perfect in my walk with God. I make mistakes every day. We all do. It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit working our lives that we can even attempt to match up to what God is telling us to do. Without the Holy Spirit, we are not able to do it. And the only reason we have the Holy Spirit is because Jesus Christ died on the cross for us and sent the Holy Spirit when He left. We have to understand this, that being consistent doesn't mean being perfect, but it means asking for forgiveness and getting back. Not saying, well, I messed up, I might as well forget it all. No, that's not being consistent. Being consistent is saying, I messed up. I've got to go back to the one that can fix it and say, I sinned, and ask for forgiveness and then go forward. We have to understand that too. And then the last responsibility that we have as parents, as Christian parents, is for making God Lord over our home. Too many times, we make everything else more important than we make God. Travel ball, dance, vacations, going to the amusement park, going to the lake. Listen, we don't have to look for excuses or something else to do in place of honoring God. They're there. But we are responsible for making the Lord, Lord of our God, Lord over our homes. Look at verses 8 and 9. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. You need to make God Lord. And when we say Lord, there's no halfway doing this. He either is Lord or He isn't. There's no in between. We have to set the example to say, no, this house is going to serve the Lord. Just like Joshua did. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have to make that decision. We have to make that concerted effort to make God Lord of our homes. And your children have to know it. Too many times in today's society, kids don't come to church. Parents don't make them come. Well, we want them to choose. You let them choose if they want to go to school or not? Some of you do. Kid wakes up, I don't feel like going to school. You don't make them. Guess what happens if you do that? Eventually, DSS is coming to your house because your kid's not in school. And they will take you to court. And you will get in trouble. And your children will fail. Well, guess what? If you don't make sure that your children are in church and learning, that they're not honoring God, when you don't set the example, guess what? It's a lot worse. They say that what one generation will allow, the next generation will take it even further. And by the fourth generation, they don't have anything to do with it. So if we allow our children to ignore God and go to church only when they feel like it, the next generation, they're going to be, if they go, they go. If they don't, they don't. The next generation after that, they're not going to see the importance of it. And they're not going to go. The generation after that won't even know who Jesus is or what the Bible is. And that's not my opinion. That's fact that can be backed up. Listen, everybody, most people that are sitting in here, three generations ago, it wasn't a question if you were going to go to church or not. It's just what you did. But as you go along, unless you take the responsibilities God has given you, seriously, then it's going to have effect on future generations. What does the scripture say, that the sins of the father will be visited upon the third and fourth generation? How in the world did God know that? Because God knows us. Now, one thing I want to point out in here, in these verses, is there anywhere that it tells parents that their responsibility to their children ends when they turn 18? What about when they turn 29? You listening? It's nowhere in there. Guess what? You never stop being a parent. Your responsibility to your children does not stop. It doesn't stop when they move halfway across the country. It doesn't stop when they join the military. It doesn't stop when they have children of their own. Your responsibility as a parent keeps going on. It may change, but it doesn't stop. There does come a point that you stop doing all of these things and you start praying. And you pray for your children. And you don't stop praying for your children. The scariest thing you ever do is send a child off on their own, hoping and praying that you taught them well enough. Oh, it's so scary. But the responsibility of a parent doesn't end. Just like children, obey your father and mother and honor them, for this is the first commandment with promise. You guys realize what that is? The first commandment with promise. It is the first commandment that God says, if you do this, this will be your reward. What is the reward for honoring your father and mother and being obedient? A long life. That your days may be long upon this earth. It is a promise. God takes it seriously. He takes our relationship with our children and our responsibility for our children seriously. He takes it seriously, the children's obedience and honoring of their father and mother. Listen. My kids think this is sort of crazy of me, but there is something that I want to do, and I've wanted to do it for a long time. But my mom has asked me not to do it, and I have still not done it to this day because my mom asked me not to. People will say, well, you're an adult. You have children and grandchildren. Can't you just go do it? Yeah, I could. But because my mom asked me not to, I'm honoring that. Because it would break her heart if I did it. Now listen, it's nothing bad, okay? I'm not going to go out and get slobbering drunk or anything. It's not that, okay? But my kids know that I've wanted to do this. I am still setting the example for my children about being obedient and honoring. They don't always get it because they're too much like me and Ginger. Just like your children are too much like you. Now, this is a little bit of a different Mother's Day sermon. But like I said, I wasn't going to have the chance to talk to the father, so I wanted to get both sets. And I want to end by saying this. Thank God for Christian parents. Our world needs more of them. Thank you for those that bring their children to church. Thank you for those that take an interest in what their children are doing. Thank you for those that see importance in being involved in your child's life. Because one thing that working with children in the YMCA and in church has taught me, not everybody does. Not everybody does. So thank you. Thank you for serving God. And I challenge you, those of you that have adult children, don't stop. Your job, until you're laying in the grave, your job's not done. My mom told me one day, she said, if you don't do this, if you don't do what God's telling you to do, even after I'm gone, if you guys start acting the fool, I'm going to come back. She's not. But she threatens us, I'll come back and haunt you. Listen, my mom was one of those ladies. Those of you that grew up in church, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You could be sitting 10 pews away from her, and you would feel a hole burning in the back of your head. And you would look, and the skin had melted off her face, and laser beams were shooting out of her eyes right at you. And you know what was going to happen when church was over. My dad, on the other hand, he didn't have laser beams. His face didn't come off. He didn't burn a hole in the back of my head. He came up, grabbed me by the arm, and I went out to the church steps. And then I came back in. You can't do that anymore. Yeah, you can, but inevitably somebody calls somebody on you and you end up having somebody come to your house. But listen, I remember telling my dad one time I'd got in trouble for something, and I thought I was going to be cool and I was going to be smart and I was going to try something. He came in there. He said, "Why in the world did you think this would be okay?" And I said, "The devil made me do it." And he proceeded to tear my tail up and told me that Jesus made him do that. But I'm going to tell you something. I never doubted my dad loved me. I never doubted my mama loved me. But they were old school hillbillies. And when I say hillbillies, I mean hillbillies. The road that went to where I was born is one way. You go in on that road, you have to turn around somewhere in there to come back out. Because it's the only road going in and it's the only road going out. Old coal mining town. They tell me stories about my grandfather, and I'm like, hey, there's no way this little old man could do this stuff you're telling me. And then I saw a picture of him when he was a coal miner. He looked like Popeye. His arms were so big from shoveling coal. So then I could see, yeah, he could pick those boys up off the ground with one hand. I can see him doing it. Listen, times have changed, but our responsibility of parents has not. God gave them to us for a reason, and we need to take those responsibilities seriously. Now, as we go to our time of invitation, I want you to think about something. Are you being obedient as parents and obeying what God has given us the responsibility of doing? Or are you just saying, well, it's somebody else will take care of that? I'm going to tell you, church, there is nothing like talking to your own child about salvation. There is nothing like praying with them and listening to those children pray in their own words, asking Jesus to forgive them and to save them. There is nothing like it. It's not my responsibility. It's not Chad's responsibility. Don't give that responsibility up to somebody else. Do what God is telling you to do. If God is dealing with you in any way, shape, or form today, Don't leave this place without being obedient to what God is telling you to do. As we sing this song, this is your opportunity.
And as we sing hymn number 447, Trust and Obey.
Let me walk with the Lord in the
Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. There are just a couple of things, and then Whitey, as our Deacon of the Week, if you dismiss us in prayer. But two things. One is this is Nancy's last week in the secretary office. She is taking a job with the Animal League of Gaston County and will be starting on the 20th there. So make sure you say, just wish her well and that you continue to pray for her. You're going to continue to come here. You're just going to be working somewhere else. With having said that, we are going to need help in the church office. If you're willing to help while they figure things out, please see me or Amy Wright so that we can get, Nancy's working on getting a notebook of everything that she does every day and how she does it, getting that together. So if you're willing to help with that, please see one of us. Also, the sound booth. We've got two young men up there working and learning, but we need another adult male up there. If you are willing to help with the sound booth and learning what's going on up there, because if one's missing, it really impacts what we're able to do up there. Please see Dan if you're willing to help and learn. Because listen, I can skip over my words and mess up my words, but if something's messed up there, everybody notices. It's like if the custodian's out for a week, people notice. So please, if you're willing to help any of those two areas, please see Dan for the sound booth and Amy Ryder, myself, for the office. And now, Whitey, if you wouldn't mind dismissing us in prayer.
Bow us a prayer, please. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to the end of this service, Lord, we ask that you would fill our hearts with your love and our minds with your wisdom, Lord, that we'll be able to go out into the fields, Lord, and take your message. Lord, we thank you so much for this day, and thank you for the mothers, Lord. Ask that you would just help us to be more thoughtful and more mindful of what you do for each and every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.